Last night I was really blessed again to teach the guys at Phoenix Rescue Mission, and we were last night looking in God's Word at putting the past behind. Good thing to look at, right? And of course that means accepting God's forgiveness. And I've been posting those video teachings on YouTube, so if you're familiar with YouTube, I'm sure you can find them. Resurrection Sunday is about a month away, so it's a good time of the year to maybe read the Gospels. Also, that great book by Dr. Werwell, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. Good time of year to look at all that Jesus Christ went through for our redemption and salvation so that we could have all that God has made available to us. This morning in God's Word, we're going to review a little bit about our true identity. But first, take a little time for some prayer and manifestations. Well, today is Sunday, March the 7th, 2021. So I'm still not used to saying 2021. Maybe because 2020 was so long. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to start. Those who are born again of God's Spirit have two distinct natures. The human nature, which we were born with back when we were a baby, and the nature we were born with when we got born again or born from above. And the Bible describes that old nature from our first birth a number of ways, as you have read in God's Word, a sinner, unworthy, imperfect, incomplete, without God. And there are some who teach that it keeps us humble to remind ourselves on a regular basis that we are a sinner, unworthy, imperfect, or, as many call it, broken. But doing that keeps our focus on the old nature, and it keeps us from seeing and believing this new nature we received from God when we got born again. And God said in His Word to put off the old and put on the new. You know, God never said to do your best to make the old you better. And you know why? Because we can't. Instead, though, God gave us a new nature. And whether we know anything about it or whether we choose to believe it, this new nature is our true identity. And sometimes we forget who we are. There may be times when we feel like we're just not strong enough. You know, we're so overwhelmed with things, we just don't have the strength to handle things. But in 2 Timothy 1, it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Remember when Jesus said, "You will receive power." In Ephesians 1, it says, "What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power?" And here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." According to the power that works in us. And you know, we might also remember that in Romans 8 it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us? In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Let's take a look at that in Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies? Who's he that's condemning? Who's condemning us? Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, or counted as sheep for the slaughter? No! Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Well, there's a little bit of power. More than conquerors, not sheep led to the slaughter. Whatever is going on in the days we live in, whether it's our personal life, the politics, the government, the plague, the weather, because of our new nature, we are more than conquerors. Sometimes we forget that God has enabled us with his power and his strength, which is part of our new nature. There may be times when we feel all alone. No one cares. I'm all by myself. I'm all alone. But let's keep reading here in Romans 8. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what's going on in our lives or around us, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. We're never alone. He will never leave us or forsake us. God is at work in you. We have access to his throne room of grace. Sometimes we forget that we are not alone, that God is with us, and he is in us by way of the Spirit, and nothing can ever separate us from his love. And that is also a part of this new nature. There may be times when we feel like a sinner because we miss the mark, we fall short. And so as a result, we feel like a sinner. But in 1 John 2, it says that Jesus Christ is the full payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. In Ephesians 1, it says that we have received forgiveness. And in Romans 5, if you back up just a bit to Romans 5, in verse 6 it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, and that certainly isn't talking about physical strength, being able to bench press 500 pounds. That's spiritual strength. There was a time we'd had none. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, back then we were ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were, past tense. Sometimes we forget that we've been forgiven. Sometimes we forget that we were sinners. Sometimes we forget that God does not see us as sinners. He sees us as he made us in the new birth with this new nature that he gave us. There may be times when we might not only feel like a sinner, but we might still be carrying all the guilt over things that we've done. Take a look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. And the word condemnation means guilty verdict. There is therefore now no guilty verdict to those who are in Christ Jesus. For you and I, as born again ones, there is no more guilty verdict. because Jesus Christ paid the price for all sins. No guilty verdict. And sometimes we forget that as a born-again one, there's no more guilty verdict for us. And again, that too is part of this new nature. There may be times when we feel unrighteous, but back up to chapter 3 of Romans. I don't feel very righteous. Well, what does it say in Romans 3, verse 20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made right or righteous in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, today, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and this righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This righteousness of God to us is not because of our good works and because we never sin and because we're so perfect and holy and we just pray all day long. It's unto all and upon all them that believe. We got born again. We confessed the Lord Jesus and believed in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. At that moment, we became born again ones and we receive the righteousness of God. Yes, but what about my sins? Well, read the next verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, being justified, made right, or made righteous freely by his grace. And it was through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a word of God that is to you and me this morning, isn't it? That we are righteous in the eyes of God. Do we believe this? Well, sometimes we forget that God made us righteous in his eyes. He sees you and me as righteous ones. And that is our true nature. That is our true identity. There may be times when we feel distant from God, but Romans 8 again. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, well, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are literally children of God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are literally his children. Do you think God forgets about his children? No. Then why would we want to feel distant from God? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, speaking about before we got born again, speaking about back then, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the state that a person is in before they get born again. Because all they have is the nature that they were born with as a baby. That's it. Without God. Without God in this world. Horrible, right? But not, that was back then. Look at verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to the Father. Now therefore, guess what? We're no more strangers and foreigners. We're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh my goodness. We have access to our Father. We're not alone. We're no more strangers and foreigners. That's the old nature. In this new nature, we're fellow citizens and in the household of God as His dear children. You know, in verse 6, it says we're seated in the heavenlies. Sometimes we forget and see ourselves where we were and who we were before we were born again. And no question about it, our identity, our nature before we were born again was not very pretty. It's pretty ugly, actually. But it's all in the past tense. And we read in the scriptures that before we were born again, we were without strength, ungodly, unrighteous, a sinner, dead in sins, children of wrath, aliens and strangers, having no hope, far away from God, unrighteous, condemned with a guilty verdict, born under the authority or power of darkness, having only a temporary mortal life. We were without God. That was then. Ugly picture. But it all changed when we accepted Christ, when we got born again, and God gave us a new nature. I wrote a recent article on the blog, What Skin Color Do You Have? And I want to read a paragraph from that article for you. The New Testament reveals and details tremendous privilege that God's children have, including obtaining eternal life, receiving God's Spirit within, access to the Father by way of the Spirit, all trespasses forgiven, made righteous in God's sight, no longer under the law, a verdict of not guilty, a guarantee of meeting Jesus Christ in the clouds when He returns, and many more exceeding great and precious promises. Talk about privilege. Born-again Christians are the most privileged people on the face of this earth. And what I wrote in that article is true. We have so much today from God's Word, and that's what makes us such privileged people. And, you know, we hear so much today about identity. But for those of us who are born again, when it comes to our true identity, what is first and foremost is not our nationality, not our skin color, not our education or occupation. First and foremost, our true identity is in Christ, who we became when we got born again. And sometimes we forget. But because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and in us, because of His work, God, through the new birth, gave us power from on high. The Spirit of God is in us. We are literally, by birth, a child of God. The Creator is our Father. We are each an important and needed member in this household of God. We are all members of this very elite one body with Christ as the head. We are a partaker of the inheritance in the kingdom of His dear Son. We have access to God through His Spirit in us. We've been invited into His throne room of grace. We've been made righteous in God's eyes because there is no more condemnation, no more guilty verdict for us. We've been born again into the authority or power of the kingdom of God's dear Son. We have the hope of the gathering together at Christ's return. And unlike the old nature, this new nature comes with eternal life and lots more. Now, when you put the details of who we were from the first birth and who we are now because of the new birth, when you put the two side by side, you clearly see there are literally two identities, two distinct natures. There is what the Bible calls the old man nature, who we were. And then there's this new man, a new nature, who we are now. There's an old you, and there's a new you. It's two identities. There are two, not one that needs to be fixed and cleaned up, but two natures, two identities. The old man nature, that old identity, that's our human product. The new man, this new nature, this new identity, that's God's work. And it's a perfect work. It's not a work in progress. From God's perspective, it's complete. And if you'd look at Colossians chapter 2, not too far away, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And you are broken." You are miserable. No. We were all those things. But as a born-again one, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Complete. See, God's work in us is complete. And yes, from our perspective, we are a work in progress, but according to what perspective are we a work in progress? Are we a work in progress to make the old nature better by focusing on our unworthy, incomplete old nature and working on that? Or is it a work in progress by accepting this new nature, this new identity, by choosing to put the old identity aside and to put on this new identity in our minds? That's where we're a work in progress. If you back up to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, let's start in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, behavior, the old man, that old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, put it off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, this new nature, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, that's part of the old man, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's putting off that old nature and putting on the new nature. Also in Colossians 3, let's read this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, but now you also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it off. Lie not one to another. Why? Seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds. Yeah, part of the old nature is lying. God says, that's not you anymore. And have put on, verse 10, put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, who created this new nature in us? God did. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Well, that should speak loudly to some of the identity stuff going on, huh? Put on, verse 12 says, put on, this is something I have to do. It's not automatic. I put off the old, I put on the new. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on those bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Okay, I'll do my best there. forbearing one another. That's what God said. Why? Because that's part of the new nature. The new nature forbears. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the putting off the old nature and putting on the new. We can't make our old nature better. If we could, well, then there would be no need for a new nature, right? God doesn't ask us to make the old better. If that were the case, instead of saying put off the old and put on the new, you know what God would have said? He would have said, clean yourself up, make yourself presentable. He didn't say that. Because we can't. In fact, in Romans, God says to reckon the old nature, that old identity, reckon that old nature dead. That's no longer the true you. And how do we do it? By putting off the old and putting on the new. And it takes a conscious day-by-day effort. You know, it's not just hearing a teaching and going, wow, that was pretty cool. It takes a deliberate, consistent effort. We choose to not focus on that old nature and all its weaknesses. We make a conscious effort to stop identifying ourselves with that old nature, but instead, we put the details of who we really are into our hearts and minds. And we find those details in the Scriptures, and especially in the church epistles. God's work in us is perfect and complete. Our work in progress is to take on our new identity, our new nature, in our minds and in our actions. And to constantly recognize how far we fall short of that new identity does not at all help us to take on the new identity. Instead, we stop seeing ourselves as a sinner, but as one who is forgiven. We see ourselves as He made us. We put that new identity into our minds over and over. And you know what? This is not denying reality.
Well, I don't lead a perfect life. You know, I fall short many times. You know, I sin.
Well, of course, we all fall short. We all miss the mark. At times we do things because we forget who we really are. But God gave us a new nature. And He said, put that old nature aside. We don't identify with that nature. Instead, we put on the new nature because that is our true identity. And I know there's some people that say that, you know, this kind of preaching is a license to sin. Well, what are you saying? You know, God loves us. We're all forgiven. We're lovely in His sight. Well, good. I guess we do whatever we want to do. Religion always tries to change people from the outside. Clean up your act, and then you'll be right before God. But God's word says it's the goodness of God that leads one to change. The more you see, understand, and believe what God has already done for you and who you are now in His sight, the more out of love and thanksgiving you'll live your life for Him. Because true change happens on the inside first. There are a number of places that teach the broken message. We're all broken. We're all sinners. We so need God. And, you know, it might sound spiritual. Perhaps they teach that to keep people humble, trying to show people that they need God in their lives. Well, of course we need God in our lives. But think about it. Is it really humbling to see ourselves as imperfect sinners? On the other hand, how humbling is it to see yourself from God's point of view, knowing you don't deserve it, knowing you absolutely don't deserve His love and could never earn it, and yet, as a born-again one, we're now His child. And He says, you're lovely and acceptable in my sight, and nothing can ever separate you from His love. And all those great truths that we've briefly looked at this morning, we didn't earn any of that. We don't deserve any of that, but God just gave us all those wonderful things wrapped up in this new nature. God did that for you and for me. I believe that focusing on what He did for us is very humbling. On the other hand, I think it's kind of egotistical to think of yourself, to see yourself according to the old nature. Because you know what? In doing that, it's all about you and how pathetic you are. Oh, I fall short all the time. I sin so often. I'm so not worthy of God's love. I. All about me. If God had not given us a new nature, a new identity, then yes, by all means, that's all we have to see in the mirror. But God did give us a brand new nature, a new creation, new man, it says. And He is the one who said, look, put off the old and put on the new. That's who you are. Put off the old with His deeds. Focusing on our unworthy old nature rather than on who God made us to be because of the new birth, it's just nothing but a vicious cycle. Some may teach that it keeps us humble to see ourselves unworthy, imperfect, incomplete. But in reality, doing that really keeps us from seeing ourselves as God made us to be. And again, it's the goodness of God that leads a person to change. And it's in God's Word where we discover this new nature and all the great things God has provided for us. And it's a free will choice to put off the old nature and put on the new. You know, in 2 Peter 1, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. This wonderful new nature that God has given us. And by the way, one other thing. It's important to note that when God says to avoid or stop doing certain things, you know, we read some stuff in Ephesians and Colossians. When God says to stop doing certain things, it's because that's not who you are anymore. That's not the thinking or behavior of a child of God. You know, we read in Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more, right? Stealing is not new nature. That's the old nature. You know, part of the old nature is, well, let me take this and let me take... Let him that stole steal no more. Don't be stealing anymore. See, God tells us to avoid or stop doing certain things because that's not who you are. And when God says to do certain things, it's because that's who you really are. And that's the thinking and behavior of a child of God with this new nature. We don't have time this morning, but you ought to read Hebrews 12 sometime. You know, it talks about that. About how, talks about, you know, run with patience the race that's set before us and not being discouraged. But then, you know, God works with us as children, you know. And so many times you might be reading in God's Word and something is right there where God says, you know, this is not the best thing to do. And you kind of get reproved. And God just wants us to live this new, wonderful nature, who we really are. And to walk with His power and to have confidence in our God and to see ourselves as righteous before Him. And again, we don't deserve any of it. We could never earn it. There's a lot more that we could cover, but I'd like to close from the working translation here in Colossians 3. We just read verses 16 and 17. I'd like to read them again to you from the working translation. Let the word concerning Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the word concerning Christ, we read it in the scriptures. Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to God. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. How thankful we should be to our wonderful Heavenly Father for giving us this new nature. This is who we really are. This is the life we want to live, because in doing so, we will be blessed. We won't feel distant from God. We'll have the confidence as a righteous child to walk into the throne room of grace so that we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We won't be walking around with guilt and shame, because we'll know and believe that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. We will have the confidence to believe that the love God has for us never, ever ends, and that nothing can separate us from his love. We'll have the confidence to walk with our heads up, knowing that in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, how humbled we are to see just a little bit this morning of all that you did for us, gave us, made us to be through the completed work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, what a great privilege it is, and how humbling it is to be your child. And Father, for all the wonderful rights, privileges, and abilities that you've given us as your children. And Father, that you've had them written down so that we could read them, so that we could understand them, and that we could believe them, and that we could live our lives as wonderful, blessed children of God. We're so thankful this morning for our wonderful Lord and Savior, for the price that he paid, that he laid down his life so that we could have life, real life, true life, eternal life. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, and mercy to each one of us, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks for being here this morning. Feel free to share the phone number to someone you think might be blessed to join on Sundays. I'll be posting this teaching on my blog in a little while. The blog is confidenceandjoy.com. It's under the tab Recent Teachings. And if you think it would be a blessing for someone, feel free to share it. See yourself this week as God sees you. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? See yourself as God sees you. Keep praying and expecting God to supply all your needs. And keep praying lots for our country. And let's all continue to pray for open doors to speak God's word to those who are discouraged or looking, searching for those that want to hear. We'll be back here again next Sunday unless Christ returns, which would be great. But until then, I love you, and may God bless you abundantly.